Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the Vookcast episode 69. Won't make any jokes about that. The official podcast of Vooks.net, Australia's longest lasting, oldest Nintendo fan site. I am your host, Daniel Flame Condor Worthington, and joining me this week in our 2012 Look Back Spectacular, we have Grand Lord Overlord. Grand Overlord of the site, Vook.
Hello.
Forum moderator, Stephen Ninja Catfish.
Hi.
And community manager, reviews guy, James.
Hi. Why was I last?
I'm sorry. I usually do you second, don't I?
I'm just, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay. I feel bad now. I'll quit as host.
I don't care if I go last.
It's been a few weeks since the last episode. And it's also the end of 2012. Hey, we survived the apocalypse, apparently. That didn't happen. So let's take a chance to look back on some of our favourite games of the year. What we're going to do is each list out our top five and, yeah, just sort of discuss them. So we'll start with the number five game on the list. And because I didn't go in first in the introduction, James can list off... James, your number five best game appearing on a Nintendo platform this year.
My number five is The Last Story for Wii.
Okay, why? That's why you like it. Why you like it, what you liked about it, sort of the same thing.
The thing that I liked most about it was that, like, it managed to kind of... Because JRPGs weren't getting stale, per se, but they all followed this kind of same kind of formula, if that makes sense. Like, Xenoblade did that heaps, and it was good, because, like, we haven't had a traditional RPG on HD consoles like that for a while now. But then Last Story kind of, like, tried to appeal to, like... I mean, it sounds really weird comparing it to this, but it's kind of like Gears of War-ish kind of design philosophy.
Well, they've actually said that that's where they got some of their inspiration from for the gameplay.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh.
Just because, you know, the cover system and all that, and they wanted to make a bit more of a Western-appealing RPG.
Yeah, so, it was just reminded me so much of it, like, the whole line of sight thing was very Final Fantasy 12-ish, which itself was quite different to other Final Fantasy games. But yeah, I guess it just managed to be a good mix of East and West, I guess. And that's why I really enjoyed it. And it was something different. The story was still quite average, which I don't think Japanese writers have really got a handle on yet, but.
I think it was one, I mean, for the first half of the game, I liked that it wasn't the usual Final Fantasy, what the fuck's going on bullshit stuff. It seemed sort of really level. And normal, and then it just drops this, oh, there's all this stuff controlling everything, which got a bit weird.
We already have an explicit tag there.
Yeah. And then my
Is
other
like
issue...
2 minutes into it?
Yeah, I think so.
My other issue with it was the big twist, which you sort of saw Mike coming a mile away.
Yeah, I felt like that's it. Well, I mean, but that's how I feel about most twists these days, but I guess that might be because I just watch too many things, or I do too many, you know, games or whatever, but if you saw it coming as well, then maybe I don't know.
I think it was very
telegraphed. I felt
because a certain character's not around for a while, and then
you didn't have to go into details.
But yeah,
because that's pretty obvious.
I haven't said who. Anyway, there's another bit I want to sort of spoil at the end that really annoyed me with it.
I mean, the only thing I did like about Last Story, which is why it's really at number five, is because I don't think the story was that interesting, and I thought that the graphics themselves were a little bit boring. I think they also took inspiration from Gears with the graphics, which were very uncolourful.
Unless you coloured your team up like I did in bright blues and oranges and stuff.
Yeah, just lifeless, but... which is also what most next-gen games seem to be doing these days. But, But that's it, you know. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
There's nothing really more that I can say about it. I really enjoyed it. It's probably one of the better RPGs released. I'm going to say ever instead of on the Wii. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was probably one of the... I'll get to it, because it's actually on my list later on. Yeah, I'll get to it when it's my turn.
The combat's great too. But yeah, that's all I really have to say.
I think it gave you the right amount of control over your party and then just yourself running around doing it. Sort of because Zale's in a very support sort of role. He's got to keep all the enemies at bay so all the other characters can do all this stuff. And then you can micromanage what they do, which is awesome.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. But cool, so that's your number five. Steven, what about yourself? Hi.
My number five, it's probably only at number five because I haven't played enough of it and it might get much, much better later on. But Resident Evil Revelations, I was so surprised at how well that translated to the 3DS and how pretty it was and how pretty damn well it controlled and how stressful it was. It was so, yeah, I really liked it.
Oh my god, I love that game. And I don't really get into Resident Evil as much as someone else on this podcast. I mean, the only one I've actually ever finished other than this was Resident Evil 4, and I'll admit I only finished that with a Pro Action Replay because I sort of got fed up of dying halfway through, so I gave myself unlimited grenades and stuff, and it was
wait,
a hell of a
lot. You cheated to finish Resident Evil Revelations.
No, 4.
Oh, no.
Even I finished Resident Evil 4.
I'm not good at horror games. I get stressed very easily, and then I get too tense. I know, but I suck. I found it a lot more fun with infinite ammo, and then I'm like, la la la, you're all dead, no one can stop me. I still died.
Well, if it makes the game fun for you, then whatever, man.
Because you know how like there's like the sticky bomb grenade shooter thing in Resident Evil.
I'm so disappointed.
It was so funny.
I will admit, when I was first playing it, I was like finding myself using up all my ammo on a single dude, and I was like, what am I supposed to be doing? Until I kind of worked out, you know, actually being good at shooting them and aiming and using the knife and stuff.
Was that your first Resident Evil game or something, both of you?
Dabbled, I think it was. I may have dabbled a bit in the remake. I hadn't played any on the PlayStation, so I wouldn't have played those. I mean, I was doing fine until I got up to, like, the big mansion area, and then I had this, I don't know, he was like, what's the little midget bad guy's name?
Salazar.
Ramon
Salazar.
Yeah, I mean, when you got up, because he sent his right-hand man or something after you, and it was like this grasshopper guy who's...
Vegigo.
Yeah.
That boss was my favourite.
Yeah, I mean, but I got up until that, and then I just... And I think it was also with those guys who are, like, blind, but the minute you make a sound, they run at you.
Oh, the big claw things.
Garrett. Yeah, they got a bit too much for me. So I sort of... I mean, I was fine up until that, and then I had a Pro Action Replay, and I thought, I'm just going to put this on for giggles. And then I thought, yeah, I'm just going to leave this on. So, yes, I suck.
Terrible, man.
We can also go on the list. I only ever finished StarCraft using the cheats, so we can back me up for that.
We should stop talking about this so people stop losing respect for the host of this fair podcast.
I suck at games, I don't deny that. That's why I play JRPGs, because I can grind till I'm at a decent level.
I think a really cool thing about Revelations as well is how it was clearly designed for the portable platform, like with the episodic content. You could finish an episode in maybe, you know, half an hour ish, you know, give or take, and you'd feel like you've actually made some progress as you do that, and you can come back to it and go, you know, after a week previously on Resident Evil Revelations. It's a little bit goofy, but it, you know, really gets you back into it, so you remember what you're actually doing.
More games need a previously on, because
they do.
I would finish JRPGs if they had a previously on or more of them, because I mean it's I'm very ADD. I'll play it for like about 20 hours. I'm a bit bored of this. And then I come back and I'm like, where am I going? I don't know what's going on. It'd be great if it just says, you were all heading in this direction.
Most JRPGs now, though, come with like text ones that you have to look for. But
I mean, the big one I remember is Tales of Symphonia. Because I mean, I got probably 30, 40 hours into it, took a break, and now I'm like, okay, there's a big map here and it's not telling me where to go.
You know what needs a previously on? Assassin's Creed 3, because I have no idea what I'm doing in it.
Previously on the tutorial, that thing you did 5 hours worth.
Yeah. That thing. It's like, yeah, I don't understand that game at all.
Anyway, Revelations.
Yes.
It's awesome. Sorry.
That's about all I have to say about it. I mean, I think the touchscreen inventory management was kind of cool, so you don't bring yourself out of the game to be, you know, switching your weapons up and stuff. Like, 5 did a similar thing with the D-pad, but I found the touchscreen much easier to manipulate and not be confused at.
Sorry, was it... But, you said you haven't finished Revelations yet?
Not yet, no.
How far are you?
Not terribly far, to be honest. About probably 3 or 4 episodes in so far.
Oh, okay.
What's that? Where's that up to? That's...
I can't even remember how many episodes there were.
Ooh, 12, 13.
okay.
I think the Wii U gamepad interferes with my headset.
Huh?
Oh, sorry, I'm playing with the Wii U at the same time.
Okay. Fair enough.
What kind of dedication?
I know.
Anyway.
I was playing the 3DS, the Wii U, at the same time last night.
But no Vita or anything? Well, Vita's
got
no games.
No, that thing's covered in an inch of dust. I mean, I play the Vita all the time because I like it too. Okay.
I'm pressed for time.
Okay.
I think I'm about done with my number five. Who's next?
Okay, cool. I'll go next. My number five game is New Super Mario Bros. 2 for the 3DS. There's probably not a lot to really say about it, so I'll try and be quick. I loved it because, I mean, I didn't really play the other ones. I've got the DS one, but I didn't get it till really late in the DS's life cycle. I think I just skipped it because I don't need a new 2D Mario game. And the Wii U one I couldn't really get into, but I just love this. It was great always having it on. I mean, it was
Wait,
the first...
you couldn't get into the Wii U one?
Yeah.
Wii U one is balls sane in bed.
Oh, sorry, back up. Sorry, Wii one.
Oh.
I've actually not
my
played...
My heart.
I've actually not played the Wii U one, because I haven't had a lot of time with the Wii U, just because when I picked it up, I was really sick, and, just, yeah, what little I've played of the Wii U has been more like Darksiders and Sonic Races. But I think the reason I haven't played the Wii U one is because I sort of got my feel of 2D Mario on New Super Mario Bros. 2, because I played that to 100% completion. And then there's just all, like, the coin rush modes to go back to. It's always great, like when you see the green dot appear and you've got a street pass on it, so it's more challenges to do. I just find that there's a lot to do in it and that they've really added a good deal of replayability to a Mario game, which I like. Which, I mean, like previous ones, I mean, you could do the whole speed running and all that, but this is just the coin rush mode just adds a lot to it. The only thing I really wish they would have done is actually maybe done some DLC that's made new levels, like a new world or something. But I guess they want to focus on the street part, on the coin rush modes, which, and they've done a ton of DLC for that, more than I imagine they would have done. But yeah, I absolutely loved it. I can see why people didn't like it, if from the complaints saying it's very similar, but for somebody who's not played the other ones, I loved it. And the other one thing I hated about it, that goddamn music needs to change, because it's the wah, wah, and it's like, ah! Wah,
no, the
wah.
Music is awesome.
No, it's not. It's horrible.
Music.
I hate the music. Are you joking?
I hate that they keep reusing the same crap for the same last four games, but the wah-wah, I like.
I hate that.
Especially after...
I don't mind the wah-wah, but yeah, the fact that they keep reusing, like, not all the tracks, of course, but there's the common themes.
It's so
like,
dumb.
Guys, you never did that before. Why do you do that now?
And they could do much better music. I mean, after playing Paper Mario, Sticker Star, and just how great the music is in that, and it's just a shame that then they do... This is very... I mean, because the new Super Mario Bros. Games really play it safe, because they want to do that mass appeal, so I can sort of see why they don't change it up much, but they probably need to.
I don't like...
It's a launch title, too. Oh, no. Sorry, we were talking about two, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they would have mass appeal. Like, they could still change the music and change up bits and pieces of it. Like, Mario Brothers 2 and 3 on the NES changed so much, and I'm pretty sure they had giant appeal.
Well, it depends on which Mario Brothers 2 you're talking about. I mean, you've got to remember what we got as Mario Brothers 2 wasn't originally meant to be. Well, no. I think.
Super Mario USA.
I'm not sure if Miyamoto's actually confirmed said it or something. I'm sure I read somewhere that Doki Doki Panic was meant to be Mario Brothers 2, and then they said, no, it's too different. Just remake number one, but with harder levels. And then what they were going to do as Mario Brothers 2 became Doki Doki Panic. And then it became Mario Brothers 2 in the US because the Americans were like, no, what you've. The lost levels is too hard.
Anyway.
It really is.
So New Super Mario Brothers 2, I really liked it.
Well, the thing that I hated about 2 was the boss battles were just terrible.
Oh, the Reznors. Oh, fuck.
Like, in U and Wii, at least they were, like, different and interesting, but in 2, they were so bad, especially the Reznors, like, they were just so easy to take down.
The Koopa kids were alright, but yeah, the Reznors, it's just the same thing.
I don't even think they were. And the thing that I hate most, and I've talked about this to other people before, and it sounds so petty, but how that nothing has a name in that game. Like, it's all World 1-2, or, like, Course 2-3. There's like no name for each of the levels. Each of the levels are designed around like an enemy or a like platforming aspect like you is. And yeah, it just, to me, it just feels so like by the numbers and so lifeless. And it is like the worlds are just so boring. And
yeah, you think back to older games and you had like a themed world and each level, as you say, would be sort of centered around a specific platforming mechanic.
But even look at the, just didn't look quite at get you. That. It's just.
Look at me.
Well, I'm like, sure. I think we'll be talking about you a bit later on in the podcast. So we'll probably leave.
Well, yes, I don't think anyone will be talking about two.
I mean, I liked it. I can answer why people didn't like it. So, Vuk, last for the number five. So your number five.
Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater 3D.
Really?
Interesting choice.
And, yeah, I mean, I know it's better on the Vita, and I know it's better on HD, but it did come out first, and that's what I played it through on. And the frame rate does suck, but it is still a portable Metal Gear Solid 3, and I thought that was awesome, so.
I think regardless of whether it came out on other platforms and, you know, might have been a better or worse play experience, it's still Metal Gear Solid 3 on a portable, and that's still a pretty damn good thing.
It was worse on the 3DS, and Konami absolutely, did themselves in by making it crap, and then...
Oh, yeah, his remakes on other systems.
Yeah, so you get the one game on the Nintendo console and all the others on the other, so...
It's the same as Mass Effect and the Mass Effect trilogy coming out on PS3. Oh, but now the Wii guys, you can only have number three. And I'm like, no, I'm going to wait to see if you do trilogy now.
It's not 100% the same thing, but I guess... Yeah, I didn't play it. Like, I really wish I played it, because I think it would look really nice in 3D and stuff, but then when I could have, like, I had the money to grab it, the HD was out, so I, you know.
Yeah, I played it with a circle pad, which was fine, but I don't know if I'd replay it again without one on my XL, so. But
is that out yet?
No.
How did you find the touchscreen? I think they did, like, inventory and other bits and pieces on there. Did you find that kind of, a nice bonus compared to the other versions, or was it just kind of tacked on?
It works alright. There's some extra commands on... It's going back a bit, but there's some extra commands on the bottom screen as well. That are just within, like, thumb reach.
Ah, yeah.
Which, they work well. I think... Was that Resident Evil? Oh, I can't remember. I think this game... What did this game come out in January? Like, that's... Usually
it was early in the year.
Yeah, usually everyone picks their winner from towards the end of the year, but mine was, from the start, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it doesn't sound like I'm too confident in it, but, like, it was pretty good. The motion bits were a bit crap. Made playing in bed hard, because you had to tilt it up, and then he was falling off, and it's like, no, forget it. And, but... It's still Metal Gear Solid in 3D on a portable, so...
Cool.
If they do it again and make it the frame rate stable, that'd be nice.
Now they just need to contact Silicon Knights to remake the GameCube one.
Pass.
Okay, cool. So that's the number fives. So let's dive ahead first to number fours, and may as well just keep doing the same number people we'll be going with. James, your number four...
Kid Icarus.
Woo!
Oh, wait, no. Oh, no. Wait.
Okay. Well, spoilers. Oh, didn't hear that.
Perfectly organized
cast. My number four is... Oh, no. I just typed. Oh, no. Project Zero 2. On Wii. And I know it's... I
was expecting that to come up.
It's a really bizarre choice because, like, it was... I have a feeling Nintendo might have sold 20 copies. But...
I bought one of them.
19.
But I really enjoyed it. It's a really, really, really good horror game. It's probably better than most of the stuff that's come out this generation, and I know so many people would disagree with me. But it is, it's just, and I mean, it, to be fair, it is a remake, but I mean, it does enough.
No one probably played that first game anyway. No one probably played the original anyway.
Oh, yeah, because I think it got a pretty limited distribution here. But now I have a feeling no one played the Wii one either. I don't think it sold that well, but I like...
From what I understand, it's not one that you had to play the first to get the second sort of thing.
Oh, I mean the original, though. Like, the original number two.
Isn't the second one sort of separate?
Yeah,
it is.
The story. Yeah, that's not what I was talking about. But yeah, it is separate. Yeah. It's just like it does enough differently to kind of warrant a second playthrough, and it kind of updates it because the survival horror games are all quite outdated now. But they're still playable. But I mean, these kinds of updates and stuff make it much more playable. It's
been a sort of a mini renaissance for survival horror this year. I mean, you've got Zombie U, this one, Project Zero, Resident Evil Revelations, which is a lot more survival horror than a lot of the other
Resident Evils. I would think calling Revelations a horror is stretching it a bit, but...
I think because it returns back to the claustrophobic atmosphere.
Yeah, but even then, I don't know.
It does delve into action-y.
There's too much action in that for my liking, but... With Project Zero 2, I really enjoyed it, playing through it again. The story is really, really dark. A really good story. Really good mechanics. I love the idea of the fact that you have to basically let the ghosts get closer to you in order to do more damage to them, which is important if you want to conserve all your ammo, or I should say, your film. It's just a really good horror game that, like, uses all the, like, horror tropes effectively to actually scare you. That whole series, the Project Zero series, is probably one of my scariest. And I'm glad, I think Nintendo owns it now, so I hope that they do more with it. But, yeah.
Did the 3DS one ever end up coming out down here?
No. But I've heard that's terrible anyway.
Yeah. It's a survival horror game, you need to play in the light.
That's funny. I have nothing more to say about it, really. Well,
If it wasn't too scary, I'd probably get it. But again, as we've said, I don't deal well with horror.
Yeah, I think it is very frightening, especially if you're scared of, like, you know, ghosts and stuff. Because I know different people are scared of different things, but this is very supernatural, very, tapping into the same kind of stuff as The Grudge and The Ring, all those films. There's nothing
okay.
Really. Yeah, that's, I don't think.
Cool. Ninja, you're number four.
My number four might be controversy. Mario Party 9.
Ooh.
I really, really liked it. I thought they changed just enough of it to... I know, they just made the game flow so much better than old ones. They've gone through and done 8 releases where it's, you know, everyone take your turn and it's all, you know, going here and there across the board. And with 9, I don't know if other people have played it, but basically it's, you're all in the one cart thing, and if one person moves, you all move. And it just sort of kept the entire game flowing, and sort of you get to the end of the level and that's it. It wasn't, you know, keep going until, you know, arbitrary amount of turns have gone and you've gotten bored and sort of saved and quit. This one was sort of long enough to keep you interested, but not, not so long, you know, like previous ones where you're just like, oh, stuff this. So yeah, I really, really liked what they did to 9 and thought they updated it quite well.
I've actually played quite a few games in 9 this year as well, and I thought it was quite good, except for the fact that I always lose in it, so...
One thing I didn't like, I mean, it's just a tiny little thing, but mini-stars just don't mean as much to me as stars. I don't think they could have done the change that they did without changing the whole scoring system as well, but I don't know, stars are cool, mini-stars are just, like, seem so insignificant.
Yeah, and you only get one star at the end.
Hmm. But yeah, I really, really liked it. All the mini games I've played of it so far were quite good. There weren't any duds that I've played yet anyway. And it makes me think that a Wii U one could be fantastic because it did some really good, one player versus the other three. And I think with the Wii U, they could just take that to another level. So it has me really looking forward to the next one.
It was really different. I know that, like, the people I played it with really enjoy it being different. I didn't really warm to it as much as I wanted to, but I liked it. It was really good. But I didn't play it enough to really talk about it too much.
I can sort of see one maybe coming out late next year for the Wii U. Oh, no, actually, I think Mario Kart 8 will be Wii U end of next year, so they might want to do Mario Party the year after that.
As long as we don't get into this track of his Mario Kart and then his Animal Crossing and then his this... just over and over again. Let's mix it up a bit, but that's another
thing.
They didn't really try to. I was going to say they tried to with Wii Party, but they didn't really. But,
that was meant to be good, wasn't it?
I loved Wii Party. I thought it was really good.
I've played it once.
I bought it cheap for the extra Wii remote, and I haven't actually opened it. I was a little bit intrigued, but I just never actually had the opportunity to really play it. Party. I don't think it's one I actually play by myself.
But the thing, I was going to say something about that though. I can't remember now. I think that Mario Party would work well with Wii U, especially for like the 3v1 games. But yeah.
Mm.
It's Nintendo Land sort of show.
Yeah, oh man. So, yeah, I won't go into it, but.
Okay, so good. Cool.
We're so bad at keeping secrets.
That's not in my list if that's what we're getting at.
I've seriously only ever played 2 Mario Party games. One was on the N64, and I think another one was on the GameCube, and I can't remember. That may have been the one before the one with the microphone.
Oh, it was.
I only ever played the one with the microphone.
I think that would be 5, the one before the microphone.
It was so messy on the GameCube. There was so many.
No, wasn't that 6? 7 was the one with the microphone.
No, you might be right. It's kind of crazy how they went all the way up to 8 before, you know, in the space of 2 consoles.
And then they took a big break from it, which is good. I mean, that's probably what the series needed.
Mario Party 8 was...
Also, it was like... Shit, it was 2007 to 2012 before Mario Party, between 8 and 9. It's a fair break.
Yeah, it's because they had all the Mii.
Yeah, I know, Wii Party. Stuff. Okay, cool. So, I guess that's now time for my, number 4 game. Resident Evil Revelations, pretty much for all the same reasons Ninja said before. I love... As you said, love with the whole chapter setup. It did make it just perfect for handheld play. And even the chapters were sort of divided into 2 sections as well, 2 or 3. And it just kept me wanting to know what happened next. I mean, I did get a bit annoyed when we're in this big cliffhanger with Jill, and it's like, and then we're going to go jump to Chris and what's-her-face. What was her name, James? Vanessa or something?
Which one are we talking about?
Revelations.
Chris's
partner.
Jessica.
Yeah. I mean, it sort of did annoy me that it sort of... I mean, the game really shone when it was just Jill and Awesome Guy. Oh, God, I'm just having such a bad time remembering this guy's name.
Spanish Parker. Man.
Parker was awesome. Just dude is a tank and just... Yeah, he was cool.
Well, they all could tanks because the controller.
I found the control... I mean, I didn't play it with a circle pad. I only played it a few weeks back on my...
You really should have.
Did you play Revelations?
It without the circle pad as well.
Revelations what? Didn't control, like, tanks at all.
I'm joking, man.
Oh, right, sorry.
That old tank controls thing.
I disappeared.
I mean, I've heard people that didn't like about the monster designs, that they're all very generic. I mean, I didn't find it that bad, given the setting and the story they had that was cool.
Yeah, but you haven't played monsters. Other games.
I mean, there were some annoying tense bits when this sort of zombie chick's chasing you and you need to go get the key to the elevator. It annoyed me. I sort of killed her and she kept popping up all over the place again. Spoilers, maybe. There's going to be spoilers in this episode, so what the fuck. The game looked just amazing on the 3DS, and also helped you had a good view of Jill all the time in that swimsuit. Some of the twists in the story were a bit lame. I sort of want to go into what I didn't like about them, but it was cool.
I thought in general, it was not that good, the story. But I'll get into that at some point, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah,
the visuals you were talking about, did you find yourself playing in 3D mode more or non-3D mode?
I generally play in 3D for most of my games. I think with this, I did find myself having to turn it down a bit because it was pretty powerful, the 3D effect in this. Did just cause a bit of strong.
Hell no, I put that thing on strong. Yeah.
Oh man, setting it to very strong, then your 3D slider to very high. It's like, you can't see anything, but you can just see all the way into the world. It was so cool.
I could see around the world and see the back of my head.
I love the setting on the boat. I think it was a good idea to do on that because it did allow for a very contained environment. It was quite tense and claustrophobic.
That does add to the whole feeling that nobody probably knows where you are and no one's coming to help you sort of thing. Yeah.
And then it mixes it up with these sort of action-y scenes. So, I mean, I thought it was a good mix of sort of new and old Resident Evil. Again, I haven't played a lot of old Resident Evil and my most experiences, we said it was Resident Evil 4. And I felt like it was a good mix to that. And I kind of hope it does get a re-release on the major consoles because I think more people do need to play it, and I would love to see a sequel to it in the 3DS, but I'm not sure how well it sold. James, you'd probably know.
I don't know how it sold. I know, I'm pretty sure it underperformed.
Yeah.
Which is probably why a HD version is happening, if it is really happening.
Well, given, what was it? It was MT Framework or something, was it?
It was the first MT Mobile game.
So,
no, it wasn't. Street Fighter was.
And that's designed to be easily upgradable, isn't it?
Well, I don't really look into it that much. I just play the games.
Oh, shit. It was a game designed by Tosei as well. So good on them for actually making a good game.
Who now?
Tosei. They have sort of a history of being a secret developer that doesn't make good games. But they actually do make some really good stuff. So, yeah, that's my number four. Vuk, your number four.
Yeah, that's my number four too.
Okay.
Oh.
Basically the same reasons I said, or...?
Yeah, pretty much. And I actually could finish it. Like, I hate games that are 40 hours. I know it sounds really weird, but I hate 40, 50, 60-hour games. And unless they're really, really good, or... Like, I was glad to be able to just sit down, play this over a couple of weeks, and finish it. And play through a good story. And there was some multiplayer stuff to come back to. There wasn't that many people playing that I could see when I was playing it. But, you know, it was just enough for me. And it was after Resident Evil 4, I haven't played anything. But between then and there, none of the Wii gun games, none of that. So it was good to have Resident Evil back. And it felt a lot like 4, so I like that. So Resident Evil 4 is one of my most favourite games ever.
I probably should point out that I am, again, talking about how much of a crap gamer I am. I tried playing on a normal mode, and then I got to about halfway, and I'm like, there's this big thing where you've got, like, I think the ship's sinking or something, and you've got to run to do some stuff, and I just didn't have enough ammo, and then that one of these big monsters just came out of nowhere, and I'm like, screw it! I'm restarting the game on easy. Yeah, I know, but look, I enjoyed the storyline, and even though it was over the top and stupid, and I was just interested to know what was happening next. And, I mean, it was cool to play in easy. I found a lot more ammo, and I killed more stuff. I didn't get all the handprints, though, so I was a bit miffed about that. Okay.
Terrible.
Okay, cool. So, that's Vuk. Unless you got anything else to say about it, Vuk?
Nah, I have agreed with everything everyone else has said.
Cool. Okay, we're going to take a quick break from our top five countdown to do our Late to the Party Awards. This is just, I mean, a game that you played this year that had came out in a previous year. It didn't have to be 2011, could be before that, but a game you played this year for the first time and you really enjoyed. So, James.
You told me we were skipping this, so I didn't do it.
Oh, well, then you said you found something that was 2011 or whatever.
No, I didn't. I found something for my non-Nintendo, but that's fine.
Okay, cool.
I don't have anything I was late to the party with. I play
almost... To be fair, you review all the games, so you don't get much time to find stuff.
I play almost everything that comes out as soon as it comes out.
Yeah. Always on time to the party.
Yes, yep. I'm very good at parties, despite what others
say. You're a trend center, so yes. Go you. Okay, Ninja, did you have anything?
My one would be one that I did still play last year, but I kept playing it this year because it was so damn much fun. Mario Kart 7.
Yeah.
It's
Mario Kart.
And after they patched it, it was worth playing again.
Yeah, there is that. I think that was the game that really sold me. I'd already bought a 3DS on launch, of course, but that was the game that made me say, I'm glad I have a 3DS because it was just so pretty and it controlled so well. Was, I don't know, everything up until then just didn't feel quite as good, and Mario Kart 7 came out. It's like, yep, this console's fine now. For me.
Cool. Vuk. Oh, no, hang on, it's my turn. With the backlog challenge on the forum, I've just had so much opportunity to play a lot of older stuff. Probably my big one that, I mean, I absolutely fell in love with and gushed about, and James went off at me for talking too much about it, apparently. Final Fantasy IV Heroes of Light on the DS. It was just... I mean, actually, probably everything on my backlog list would be great for Late to the Party, because it's just games I got around to finishing that I'd really enjoyed, like Mario and Luigi, Bowser's Inside Story, and even a little bit of Skyward Sword, which I still need to finish. Didn't give it the time, really, when it started, because it felt a bit samey, but once I actually started getting into it and playing through the dungeons, it just was an amazing game. Actually, I'm going to go Skyward Sword because, yeah, that's just, I mean, there are problems with it, but I think they did make a really good Zelda design for the Wii. So, yeah. That's mine. Whoop.
Mine's StarCraft 2 still. I'm still playing that. I think that was 2010, but I don't even care because I'm playing the beta now.
For the
Heart of the Swarm expansion pack. And they've changed the game significantly. It's pretty awesome. And I still suck at it, but I still enjoy playing it.
I need to get around I need to get around to properly playing that.
The campaign you should be able to finish you should be able to finish it easy. But
there's an easy mode.
Okay.
Flame Condor mode.
As long as there's cheats on the phone. I bought it when it came out, and I mean that's when I got my last laptop, so I've had it for about 3 years now, thinking about it. And I played the first mission and then a bit of the second, and then I stopped, and then I keep going back to play it, but then it's like your Blizzard ID password has been compromised, you need to change it. So then I get around to changing that, and then I don't play it, and then I keep getting emails by some hackers saying, we need to update your Blizzard details. And I'm like, oh, fuck it. Because they keep hacking. They're like, World of Warcraft.
That's just a hack, man.
And I'm like, I don't play World of Warcraft. I don't give a shit about World of Warcraft or Diablo 3. So, yeah.
Yeah.
StarCraft is win. Okay, we're going to take a quick break now, and then we'll be back with our numbers 3-2 and with some more fun and 2012 backingness. So, break. And we're back. So let's get into it. Number 3, James.
Resident Evil Revelations.
Okay, cool. Why did you love it?
It's like a solid half hour of just talking about
it.
It's a good game.
Can I just talk about why it's not number 1?
Well, I'm actually interested because, I mean, I've heard a lot of... I mean, Resident Evil 6 got trashed a lot. And I've heard you say that you still prefer 6... to Revelations.
Yes, and let me go on record
sort of
saying
interested
that
to
unapologetically.
Know why. So, why? Because everyone else hated 6.
No, that's not even true. People who didn't play 6 hated it. That's, I mean, I just don't understand. No, wait, let's not get into this. Catfish knows.
I love 6.
Catfish knows how passionate I am about this topic.
Is it more because of the story?
No.
Is it more because of the story?
No, shh, we're not talking about 6.
Sorry.
Because we'll be here for hours. Well, I'll be here for hours.
And we'll all go home.
The Revelations, the thing that I really liked Revelations when I played it, I still really do like it. I think it's a good game. I don't think it's a very good Resident Evil game. I think that the story especially started stepping into like the movie kind of style where it's all this really ridiculously stupid futuristic shit. And I'm really glad 6 in particular scaled that back after Revelations. I thought that was where the series was heading, but it wasn't.
Oh, yeah, but like Terra Grigia and whatnot.
Yeah, like that's ridiculous. And like the sun cannon, and it just doesn't, it's like, you know, the last time I saw that was like in Die Another Day, the Bond movie. And
yeah, I was about to say very James Bond.
Yeah, let's just remember how good that movie was.
The song was okay.
Of course it is for you.
Madonna, don't.
Yeah, it's even worse. I just didn't like, I just thought the story was terrible. This is going to sound really hypocritical because I love Resident Evil 6, but I hated the way Revelations did the arena kind of gameplay where you had to hold an area for a certain amount of time and just, you know, like kill all the enemies, survive as well, you know, someone plants a bomb or someone extracts you or someone downloads something from a computer. It's just so, it was done too much in Revelations. And the other reason was, I hate the characters. All the characters are annoying. Like, Chris and Jill are cool because, you know, they're Chris and Jill. Like, you know, the main characters. But then you've got, like, all these random, like, I had to keep, you know, forcing myself to play through those sections where you play as those two nerd guys who are downloading.
Yeah, I didn't like them.
It's just so, like, why are Capcom introducing all these new shitty characters who are never going to be revisited again? And if they do revisit them again, like, no one will care, so they won't revisit them. That's my theory.
Look, I have a feeling there is going to be a follow-up to this just because of the way the game ended.
Yeah, well, that's how I felt. And then 6 came along and nothing happened at all.
Yeah.
With regards to
But I think this is sort of going to be its own sort of side story thing just for...
Well, like, considering how well it performed commercially, I don't think it is. But we'll see.
So what, you didn't even like Parker?
Nah, why do people love him? I just don't understand. I just think the internet loves to, like, latch onto something and just, like, go for it. I hated all the characters. Like, I hated them. I would be so happy if I never heard from any of them again. Jessica especially. With her stupid half-leg wetsuit.
Yeah, that was stupid. Okay, but why did you like it?
Why is it at number 3 and not 5? Why is it even in this list? I've already said it, really. I felt like it did some things right. It was really just because there's really nothing else this year that interest grabbed me as much as Revelations did. I finished it in, like, 2 days. But I think that was just me, you know, wanting something new and Resident Evil-like. I do think it kind of tries to combine the old with the new. I thought that Jill in the ship was very mansion-y, like, from the first few games. I'm sure anyone who's played it will agree. I thought the scanning was pointless and just a way to implement 3DS things.
The scanning also would have been good if it had been a bit more Metroid Prime-y and just added a bit of, like, background info to everything.
Yeah, even if that would
just
be nice.
Oh, here's bullets, here's handprints.
Yeah, you're right. It's so hard because, you know, I wrote a glowing review of it because I loved it. But then the more I think about it, the more I didn't. Like, I don't know. It's weird. But I it's a good game. And I love Raid. I think the Raid mode, which is the co-op kind of mode, should really make a return in some form to the future games. And I'm surprised they didn't do that, with future games. Like 6. But yeah. I mean, it's better than Operation Raccoon City.
It's not saying much.
That's big words, though.
Definitely is.
High praise.
A porta potty for 3-year-olds is better than Operation.
And it sold well, though. That's a scary thing.
Let's not talk about that, please. That's just not.
Oh my god, a 51% on game rankings. Okay, cool.
I'm so all over the place with this game now. I used to be really, really positive, and now I'm just all over the place, which is why I think it's kind of fitting it's in the middle of my list.
Cool. I think we've talked on that. I think that's probably the last we'll bring up Resident Evil Revelations, unless someone's got on their list twice. Ninja.
I have it on all spots.
Okay. Ninja, you're number 3.
New Super Mario Bros. U.
Ooh.
I have a feeling I seem to be talking about things first and then everyone's going to talk about it some more. But I really, really liked it. Sort of for those same reasons why we were talking about that New Super Mario Bros. 2 kind of didn't work quite so well. The fact that this does have the themed levels, it does have levels around platforming, proper platforming techniques. And
it's not just, here's the desert world.
Yeah, I mean,
here's the ice world.
You have like
the poison forest ghost world.
Yeah, that's it. And like the part with all the, I'm not even going to try and say the artist because I'll probably be wrong, but that part with all that impressionist art, maybe, I don't know.
Oh, the painting.
Right. Yeah, that was just so cool. And I did not expect that. And all the levels were named and everything's all interesting. And I found the co-op to actually be quite good. I didn't have fun with co-op in any of the previous ones, but this one
it should be online.
No, it shouldn't. That would be even worse.
Do you know what? Yeah. I don't feel like online would work for a Mario game.
No.
Like, it's all about with your friends and, you know.
Exactly.
If someone annoys you, you can, like, hit them or something.
Yeah. I mean, when I've played previous games and didn't like the co-op, it wasn't... I'm thinking that those problems would be made worse by the person not being in the room and probably not having a headset, so you can't tell them that they're shit. I don't know. I don't think online would work. But yeah, I really liked you. And yeah, That's it. That's the thing that I have to say.
Cool. As you said, I'm sure it's going to come up again.
Yeah.
My number three, it's another Mario game, but it's Paper Mario Sticker Star. I don't think anyone.
That only came out last week.
I've had it for about a month.
Oh, that's right, because we're in Australia.
Yeah, go US. When it comes to Mario RPGs, I've always sort of more been in the camp that the Mario and Luigi games are the better ones than Paper Mario. I couldn't really get into the first Paper Mario. I liked Thousand Year Door, but again, with me and RPGs, it got to a point where I just stopped. And I never played Super Paper Mario. But this, from what I can gather with Super Paper Mario, they wanted to combine the RPG and the platformer. Sounds like they failed. But this, I think they sort of found the right mix, because you got levels where you got to explore, and it's very sort of, it is very platformy, but then you've got these RPG battles, the turn-based battles, and, I mean, the game's sort of been slammed on by a lot of reviews, and I think the problem with that has been that it isn't what people wanted in a Paper Mario game. They wanted Paper Mario Thousand Year Door Part 2, whereas this is trying to be its own thing, and I think I really appreciate it for that. I mean, there's just so much I like about it. The fact that it's got level structure in an RPG is great, because it's designed for portable play. You can, like this, with Ninja said with Resident Evil, you can play these levels for like 15 minutes or like half an hour, and you feel like you've made some progress. There is, I think it's like the third world where things sort of slow down a bit, but that's because it's got like twice the number of levels to any other one, and then you need to replay the levels to catch these, to do these sort of things. The story's good. I mean, there is sort of a story progression where like Bowser's stolen this comet sticker royal thing, and you're sort of trying to get all these bits of it back so you can save the sticker festival. It's like world shattering events in the Mario Kingdom, Mushroom Kingdom. The only problems I had with it, I mean, the story's there, but I don't think it's memorable as a lot of other Mario RPGs. It doesn't introduce the wild and wacky characters a lot of the other ones did, and I think that was because Miyamoto said he only wanted to have Toads as sort of the main side characters, and unfortunately the Toads sort of all blend together. But, and also, I mean, I'm sort of struggling to think of, like, humor has been a big part of these games before, and I'm sort of struggling to think of moments that I found just laugh out loud funny. I mean, there was this one bit where you're being chased by this huge fish and then something really funny happens at the end of it. And I mean, I'm sure there's been bits that I have found really funny, but nothing really sticks out as amazing to me. As like in Thousand Year Door, you've got Luigi, recounting his stories in this other kingdom, and then like just everything will fall in the Mario and Luigi games. But yeah, I really liked it. I just finished it last night. There's heaps to do in it, and it's just, yeah, it's a great little game. But I think, as I said, people are trashing on it because it's not exactly what they wanted, which is really ironic because people trash out the new Super Mario Brothers games for being exactly the same as all the other ones. But then the minute Nintendo tries to do something different, like, no, make it the same as what we wanted.
Yeah, but the issue there is more that, you know, there's been a kajillion new Super Mario Bros. Games, but there hasn't been many Paper Marios, and not very often.
Well, there's been four new Super Mario Brothers games, and this is the fourth Paper Mario game. So, I mean, and each one has tried to do its own different thing.
Is the timing the same?
Oh, no. I mean, we're talking like N64 to 3DS. So.
Well, there we go.
Yeah. I've got to say, the game looks amazing. It's just the sort of the 2D characters. And that's just how the world looks with everything being made out of paper. And, it looks so good in 3D. And another thing about the levels, I mean, with the last ones, you would gain skills and abilities which would help you solve puzzles and stuff. I mean, you've sort of got all the skills and abilities you need at the beginning of the game to finish levels. I think I was telling the other day, it feels a bit Zelda-ish in the way you progress. You just got to solve all these puzzles, get to the next world level, and yeah. I know, I love it. I'm hopefully going to be working on a review for it, because I'm probably the only one on the site who's finished it. So, maybe look forward to that. I'm sure James is going to keep hounding me to actually review games.
Well, I'm not reviewing Paper Mario because you said you were, so...
Okay, yes, boss.
You have to now.
Okay. Yeah, I loved it. So, Vuk, your number three is Resident Evil Revelations. We've talked about that.
No, it's not.
You said all of the ones on your list are... Yeah, I know.
I think you forgot.
I know, and I was anti-joking the anti-joke.
Damn you.
That doesn't work.
Anti-jokeception.
It does. Yeah, see?
Okay, cool.
It works, if you believe it works.
Your number three.
Oh, my Mass Effect 3 Special Edition.
Interesting.
I seriously haven't played that many games that year, and I've played halfway through that, and it just being able to play in bed with a headset on, and bloody Mass Effect 3 is just awesome. So
I agree. I really liked it. I reviewed it, and it's every bit as good as any other version that I played, except it's... Yeah. Yeah, it's on a Nintendo console, and yeah, as you say, you can play it in bed, which is a nice bonus.
Well, I played it before.
Secret best feature of the Wii U.
And it looked like crap on a MacBook Pro, obviously. Mm. And my iMac didn't look that much better either. And so on the Wii U, it looks amazing. So I'm happy with it, and I've been playing it mostly on pad, off TV. But when I do play it on the TV, the actual touchscreen commands are pretty good, and the mini map not so much, but being able to move the people on the map.
I actually found the mini map really, really useful, just like when I'm looking, you know, around the Citadel or any other hub area where it's not combat, or even when it is combat, sort of just easier to look down than going to a menu. It was just there.
Yeah, in the non combat, like the Citadel's a pain in that butt to navigate. I mean, it's much smaller in 3. The amount of usable area, I guess, feel like it anyway. But, yeah, so, they did all right.
Did you find it sort of missing anything, given that it doesn't have, given that we sort of didn't get 1 and 2, for obvious reasons, the Wii probably couldn't handle them. But
I played 1 and 2, so, but, I mean, the comic, you didn't have to sit through and watch it, but if you did watch it, you had to watch all of it. You can, like, jump ahead or anything like that. You do miss out on not having your own Shepard and having previous, you know, like the old crew members who pass on and whoever they hook up with and the relationships from the other games. So it's a bit confusing there. But if you played Mass Effect before, any of them, it won't matter because you'll know who everyone is. But if you're a Nintendo person and you've not played any other Mass Effect at all before, I probably wouldn't go straight into 3 on the Wii U. I'd probably just go get Trilogy, which is what they should have done for the Wii U anyway. But
I think I think I found story-wise, the comic did a fairly good job of outlining the major events, but obviously it was about half an hour long and it can only cover so much. And there were a couple of points where I noticed characters referring to events in older games and sort of having played them a while back and just had the refreshment from the comic. I was like, man, if I hadn't played that, I wouldn't know what was going on. So that's a little bit of an issue.
I reckon you should watch the comic for sure.
Didn't they say that there's a possibility Trilogy could come to the Wii U?
No, that was a fake interview.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, you know, people make up crap and then other people report it like me and then I have to recant.
Why did they fake? How did they? What? How? Why?
They made up an interview with BioWare.
Mm.
They had an interview with them, right? And then they put up a fake one. All the responses were made up. Yeah.
Video game journalism. I was sort of hoping that might come to the Wii U and I'd get it in that.
Yeah. Well, if they put Trilogy on the Wii U now and straight right don't make it, then it's like EA don't care what happens to their third party, like this, you know, not like the BioWares and the Maxis teams, but like the second level. I'm not saying they're worse developers, but like developers they work with rather than the ones they own.
Yeah.
They don't care what happens to them. So if they release Trilogy on the Wii U and Straight Ride don't get to make it, then Mass Effect 3 on the Wii U is just not going to sell at all anymore. I mean, it's probably not going to sell terrifically anyway, but it's just going to cut it off at the knees, you know? Just, boom, that's it, it's gone. And if they don't meet a certain target, then they're all that's going to look like on a, you know, like on a budget sheet is a loss. And they won't work with that company again, which is going to be really shit, so.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just the fact that Trilogy's out there stopping me from buying it.
Well, Trilogy's like $50, and the cheapest I can buy Mass Effect for now, I just had a quick look the other day, it was like $68.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So there's nothing wrong with Mass Effect 3 on the Wii U, though. It is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's just as good as any other version that I'd played. There were a couple of, like, I mentioned it in the review, there were a couple of moments, like in the Citadel and particularly busy areas. It didn't seem to happen in combat, though, where like the frame rate would drop to a crawl for maybe a second or two, but it was nothing game-breaking, and it probably was similar on.
Yeah, I think that's just when there was a lot of AI characters on
the
screen.
Yeah, like in, you know, incredibly busy parts, like that shopping area on the Citadel is where I noticed it the most of the time. But otherwise,
yeah, just
damn,
a couple
it was
of
really, really pretty. Like, that was one of the first proper hardcore video games I played on the Wii, and I was like, wow, this looks really, really good.
And the gamepad works terrific for, you know, normal games. Like, I haven't played Black Ops on it yet.
Cool.
So I don't know how... And I haven't played... The only racing game I played on it so far is Sonic, so we'll see how that goes. But for Mass Effect, the gamepad is a terrific controller for it, so...
Hopefully it should be like... I mean, I think because Dragon Age 3's out next year, so hopefully that'll come to the Wii U same date as the other ones, because we're more leaning to play that. I don't know.
Yeah, but then we got the same problem. It's like, I haven't. If I was going to buy that, it'd be like, I haven't played the other two, so...
Oh, well, 2's apparently shit. Okay, cool. Yeah. So let's go on to our number 2s, and James.
Ha, number 2.
You're good at number 2s, so what's your number 2 game?
Zing.
New Super Mario Bros. 2. I mean, you.
That's actually... It's because the game names rhyme as well. That's just... Ah. Anyway. Why?
The New Super Mario Bros. U. It's just fantastic. Like, it's platforming perfection. I don't know. Like, the level design's really great. The worlds are... I mean, it does do that, you know, that kind of, you know, box standard... Grass world, lava world, oh no, not lava world, poison, like, swampy world. Do you know what I mean? Like, the levels, the worlds themselves are quite by the numbers, but the game itself and the design is just so good. And I love how, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but, like, I love how there's kind of, like, each level focuses on a specific thing, and, like, each level kind of has its own identity in that way. I also love all the secrets and stuff, too. It's just...
That was cool.
And I don't know if this has been done before or not, but I like how they did a few things differently. Like, instead of a haunted house, we got, like, a sunken ghost ship. I thought that was a cool idea. Admittedly, I haven't finished it yet. I think I'm 3 worlds down, so I've got so much more to do as well. But I'm just enjoying it so much, and, you know, it doesn't really feel like this kind of, like, you know, oh, here's, like, 20 new courses and a new power-up. It feels more like kind of bringing the best of everything together and, like, wrapping it up in this really, really good package.
I think, like, with the level designer, they all just felt so good to play. Like, previous ones that had kind of, you know, a lot of levels you'd play in sort of, you wouldn't really be able to get a good flow a lot of the time.
That's
and this
the,
one,
that's
I was just
thing,
like
yeah.
jumping all over the place, and it was just, I could just keep doing what I wanted, and the level made sense as to what I think I should be able to do playing a platformer.
Yeah, you're right. And, like, it feels like with 2, you were just cruising through it. With this, you really get this sense of, like, challenge, and you feel really good when you finish them. And, I mean, the sub-bosses are a little bit shit, but they change up their patterns and stuff. What I've played of the Koopa Kids so far, they're quite good. They're okay. I mean, the thing is, I've got to remember these games are for everyone, not just for people like us. So they do have to be a little bit easy in that regard. But the platforming itself is just so perfect. Like, it's like, I loved how you have Like, there was one level where, you know, with, like, you know, you've got these sandstorm things, like, pushing you up into the roof, and you've got, like, the those, you know, what are they called? Those big cactus dudes that are, like, balls, and you have to...
Pokies.
Yeah. Cactus balls.
And, you know...
No, they're called pokies.
Two of them, like, coming down from the roof and one in the middle, and it's, you've got to, like, kind of time the sandstorm, the sand geyser things with your movement so you don't get hit by them. And it was just like the perfect way to use enemies and environment together to make like a perfect, like, kind of platforming thing. The coolest thing, but kind of also the most inconsequential thing about it for me was the Miiverse integration. I think that's cool how you can see what people say. But there are like a lot of, like, someone on my list has finished like most of the game and they have really boring things to say about the game. So their comments always pop up, and I wish there was a way to like kind of scroll through them or like change them. But otherwise, yeah, no, it's a good game.
I think that Miiverse integration, one of the cool things about it is it sort of brought back. So I remember when I was a kid playing Mario Brothers 3, and I'd have a friend come over who obviously had a subscription to something or other, and he was like, "Hey, did you know in this
Nintendo
level,
Magazine
you,
system?
Probably, yeah. Like you can sit on this platform, hold, you know, duck for long enough, and you fall behind the level, and you can get a warp whistle." I was like, "Wow, how was I supposed to know this?" And it was just sort of a word of mouth thing. And Miiverse kind of
The girl and the wizard, she knew it instinctively just by watching him play it.
Well, there is that, but yeah, and I mean, like the Miiverse, it's sort of not, it doesn't explain every little bit of it like the internet at large. It's just like little snippets where you can go, "Hey friends, I found this thing." And it's a little bit more, I don't know, a little bit more organic than just like, "Hey, here's a wall of text telling you every secret in the game."
But I like also the way they do, what's it called? Like, they're like, you know, "Give us one word for this course or something." And then, so they kind of like shape the way that you respond. And in doing that, it feels a little bit more,
structured?
Even not structured, just like, I don't know what the word is, but I don't know. But it's good.
Cool. Okay, so it's your number two is Mario U. Ninja.
Oh, my turn. My number two is Pokemon Black and White 2. I talked about it a bit last podcast, so I don't want to cover too much of the same ground again, but yeah, it was, as I mentioned, it was sort of one that I did not even care about up until launch day, then just had a sudden urge to go buy it on launch day, so I did. And I just,
oh, that's right, yeah.
It just got the addiction so damn well. I could not stop playing it, and you can play it while, it doesn't have to take up your entire attention, so you can just keep playing it when, you know, you're watching TV or, you know, happen to have something going in the background. And I think they did a really good job of sort of bringing the Pokemon that you actually want to have at the very start of the game. I think it was maybe an hour or two, and I was already getting stuff that I wanted in my team, as opposed to just having ones that were there and I just had to put up with until I got to later areas.
So it's just Bidoofs at the start then?
Yeah, not quite. Yeah, it was sort of at the very, very start. It was just, you know, your basic Bidoofs. But yeah, then you got, you know, you had... You went,
really? They bought Bidoof back for it?
Not actual Bidoof, okay. But, you know, your equivalent. But, yeah, probably if there was a Bidoof, I would have caught it and it would have been great. But,
and Dunsparce.
Yeah, like, sort of not far in and you were starting to get, like, you know, Magnemites and Electabuzz and just cool things, like, even, like, early generation ones that as much... I think because it's a sequel to the first Black and White, they didn't feel like they had to limit you just to the, "Hey, here's these new ones that some people like, some people don't." They're like, "Let's mix everything in at once." And so it just makes that you've got the choice.
Let's add in these new introduced species of Pokemon that have wiped out all the local indigenous Pokemon.
Exactly, yeah. It's like, here's all of them. Go for your life. And I really liked that.
Cool. I need to get around to getting that. But, I mean, it's just the fact I haven't finished Black 1 that's sort of holding me off. So, yeah, that's now time for my number two. Unless you got more to say about it.
No, I think I've said about all okay. I can last time.
Cool. My number two is another one that we've already mentioned, The Last Story. I mean, as I said, I love JRPGs, but I mean, at the end of the day, I really haven't finished a lot. I mean, I think before The Last Story, the last console JRPG I'd finished would have been, Holy Magic Century on the Nintendo 64. Which is sort of one of the most boring, bland JRPGs ever. But I liked it. I will defend it to my death. And then before that was Secret of Mana, which is sort of the one that started my love affair with the genre. I really enjoyed Last Story. I mean, it's great how it sort of just places you in the action right from the get-go. You're running through this huge dungeon, and then it does teach you all these. I mean, the combat system's not overly complex, but there is sort of a lot you need to learn about it, and the game introduces it really well early on, and then with Zale getting the draw ability and all that. And the storyline, I think, isn't the usual up until a point. I mean, it's a pretty good story to start with. I mean, it is your mercenaries helping out with this kingdom, and then there's this big attack by the Grax, and then you've got to go save the princess, and then, oh, the princess has fallen in love with the main hero, but she's betrothed to someone else who's a kind of a mega dick. And then it isn't until a certain point that all this rubbishy sort of storyline stuff starts not making sense. The combat is just so fast moving and great. And pulling off some of those moves, like the one where you run against the wall and jump down, it feels a lot more action orientated than a lot of other games like that. I don't think the graphics were that bland. I think taken in the context of a Wii game, it looks pretty good. You can tell that they're pushing the system as hard as they can, just because there are moments when it seriously slows down to a crawl, which would be my only main complaint about it. I didn't even play the online or the New Game Plus. I like how it's only 25 hours long. It doesn't. I like that sort of learning. It doesn't need to be 60 hours long.
I thought it was way longer than that.
I think a problem with it is back in the especially back in the PlayStation 1 era. It's like, this game is 70 hours long, it's so much value. So then that became a trend for a lot of RPGs to go, okay, we need to be like 100 hours long or something for people to think they're getting value. But this one's like, nah, screw it, 25 hours long. We'll tell the story we need to tell. There won't be an enormous amount of side quest BS that you need to do. If you want to, there is the arena you can run through, and there's just random crap you can do around town. I mean, it's not a very big game. There's not a lot of environments to go to, but it's enough to get by. And I think Mr. Walker has done a really great job. And I'd be happy if this went the Final Fantasy route, where there is a Last Story too, but it's like a different story and new game plan. I'd really like it if he did sort of put his effort into trying to bring new stuff to the genre, instead of making iOS surfboard games. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. Easily my favourite Wii game of the year. And from the moment I actually played it and finished it, I sort of knew it was going to be one of my favourite games. And when I look back on the Wii, this is just going to be the ones I'm going to look back on and like, God damn, that was an awesome game. I'm kicking myself I didn't import the special edition, though, like I did with Xenoblade and Pandora's Tower. So yeah, I absolutely loved it. And so, Vuk, you're number two.
Mine is New Super Mario Bros. U.
Ooh.
Which I know everyone's talked about before, but I didn't expect to like it as much as I did. That was the most shocking thing. I thought it'd be... And everything leading up until the launch made it look like it was just going to be another New Super Mario Bros. U. New Super Mario Bros. Title. Same cookie-cutter stuff. Same stuff over and over, and it's not. It's actually one of the most charming, characteristic Mario games we've had in a while, and the gamepad perhaps isn't used that well. It could be on any system, this game, really, but I'm glad it's on the Wii U, and Mario in HD just looks amazing, and it's... The first level, you know, is typical Mario, but some of the later levels, you know, you got the swamps, and there's that impressionist art style level, and just, well, I was playing one last night, one of the ones up in the clouds, the later levels, and I just stopped and looked at the background for a second, because it's just amazing artwork, and they've done a really good job with the look of the game, but also how it works. And as James was saying, the bosses too have mixed it up this time around, and I actually was swearing quite a bit at one of them until I figured out there was an easier way to do it. But yeah, the game is a lot harder, I thought, personally, than 2. 2 I breezed through in one day. Like, it was just so easy, and this one took me a bit longer to do. And I haven't 100%ed it at all. I've missing coins here and there. I haven't gone to every level so far. It was just, yeah, there's so much more to explore in that game, and I'm still working through it, and I still want to work through it, so.
I swear they must have made artist... I swear they must have made the earlier ones so average so that we would see New Super Mario Bros. U as fantastic in comparison. That's been their plan all along.
Something like that. Well, 2 was just... It just felt like, yeah, I'm just playing this because it's a Mario game and I'll be able to finish it and knock it off in half an hour. So...
That the artist that level's based on is Edvard Munch, just in case anyone... Yeah. He did the screen.
Yeah, but... It does Which look world that is that one terrific, in? Like.
That's in a swampy, foresty poison.
Poison swamp, yeah. I think.
The problem I've heard is that there's not enough of that, that they should have done more of that sort of experimental stuff.
I'm sure Nintendo always works this way. They always do one or two things, experiment, and then they expand go with it a bit later on. Yeah. Everything.
Is the giant stuff one level, or is it all a world?
The giant stuff is a few levels in one world. I don't think... Is every level in that giant? No, I think it's just 2 or 3 in that world.
I think you're about right, yeah. I remember the first time I jumped into the giant world, I was like, yes, I loved it so much. It was just such a cool throwback to Mario 3 and probably other ones. But yeah... But it was all...
Yeah, I think it actually feels a bit more like Super Mario World, to be honest. Especially with the Yoshis included. And the other Yoshis, the blue and the pinky, purpley one, they're pretty cool too. Now, I can't remember because I haven't played the Wii one in so long. They were in the Wii one, the original one, weren't they?
Which?
Like the baby Yoshis.
Which one?
Yeah. No, see, I can't even remember. This is the problem with it. That's up until now, the problem with the New Super Mario Bros. Games is they all feel the same. I can't remember anything from those first 3, and I can't remember what's new and what's been recycled in U, because those last 3 games, it's just like, was that a thing before? I can't remember. So which is not a problem with this one. With this one, I'll remember each world because it had not only had a name, but it had a character, and it wasn't just, you know,
they had some actual personality to the levels. Like you could think, oh, that was a level with this thing, or you know, that element.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a ton of content in that game, and then I'm sure there's going to be DLC, which I really liked on the DS version, the 3DS version. So. Hopefully they come out with some more crazy challenges. And I saw on the Nintendo Direct they had a while back, someone was trying to play, you know, the boost assist mode by themselves, and you can play it with a Wii remote, and then you tap the screen with, like, your pinky finger to boost you along. And I tried that. That was pretty cool. And I think eventually we'll see some crazy speed runs out of that, people trying to do that.
I sort of like a Nintendo's, especially with 2 and U. They are sort of, because they've picked up that there is a sort of speedrunning culture with some of the old Mario games, especially Mario Bros. 1. So I like how they're picking up on that, and that's what they're sort of going with
the game. Exactly. Yeah, so, but I mean, it's not the core component of the game. They've just added some special bits to it, so, which is good.
Cool. Anything else to say about it?
I like the soundtrack. Everyone hates it. I like it.
Okay. You guys, I mean, I said I haven't played it. I'm really wanting to play it now.
Go play it now.
No, I might wait till next year so I can do it in my late to the party list for next year. Okay, so just before we take a quick break, let's go into our non-Nintendo award. This is for a game that hasn't appeared on a Nintendo system. So, James, what's your favourite? Resident Evil 6. Okay.
I didn't pick that. Actually, I have totally forgotten.
Okay, well, while you're thinking about it, Ninja.
I had a couple that I was thinking of because there were so many cool games that just sort of came out of nowhere. They weren't part of a franchise that existed. It was just something I didn't even know was happening, then played it, and it was fantastic. The one that stood out for me was Spec Ops The Line. That was incredible. Like, it brought you in, like, to start with, it seemed like a, you know, cookie cutter cover shooter, and it had the whole, yeah, I'm a military man thing. And then it, as the game progressed, the entire world around you, the characters just sort of begun fraying, and it sort of showed how, you know, how the events of any regular video game really would have an effect on the actual characters, and sort of, they start out as regular military men, and as they get closer, you know, further into the game, they start to, you know, go a bit nuts and just be like, yeah, I killed you, bitch, and just sort of really inhumane stuff, and then sort of makes you realize how inhumane and insane the game characters in most other games really seem. And yeah, they just did so many cool things with the storyline and little subtle elements of, yeah, I don't want to spoil too much, but yeah, it's, I could not get enough of it. It's so good. Everyone should play that game.
Cool. Yeah, that's actually one of the few games I did play and finish this year as well, because everyone was going on about it.
Cool. James?
It's a toss-up. Like, I just looked at my list of games.
Just do two, then.
I've got at least three. Four!
Okay, just pick one.
I'll be really quick.
No, three songs.
Dishonored was really good. It was, like, original. I like the way that it gave you, like, you know, freedom to approach all your missions how you wanted to. Actually, this is a running theme throughout most of mine. It's kind of like a first-person Assassin's Creed mixed with Hitman. Did anyone play it besides me?
No.
Nope.
I haven't.
I saw it on Steam this morning.
It's really good. It's fantastic.
Is it on sale?
It's got a really good atmosphere. It's made by the guys who did the original Deus Ex, or it's designed by. Yeah, it's just really good. It's just a little bit too short, and it's sold so well. I'm sure there's a sequel, and that will fix it. Next one's Hitman Absolution. Everyone seems to hate this for some reason, but I really like it. It's just like the old games. You can, if you want to play it like an action game, you can, because they let you do that. But if you don't, you can turn it on to, you know, a pure difficulty mode, and it's just like the old games, and I think it's really good. Graphics are amazing, really colourful, fantastic soundtrack, good atmosphere.
With Hitman, it's weird. I found that the internet didn't seem to like it, sort of the general, like, I guess, video game coverage. But every person that I personally know and talk to about it has loved it so I really could not work that out.
It's Resident Evil 6 syndrome, as I have affectionately coined it. It's a game that is trying to appeal to a wider market than the previous titles, and so everyone is really angry about it.
Everyone's going to hate Dark Souls.
Everyone will hate Dark Souls too. Mark my words. They're trying to make it more accessible so more people will buy it. Everyone will hate it.
Do we think that's going to come out in the Wii U or not?
It doesn't really matter. I'm not talking about that at the moment.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, so I really liked Hitman. I think that if you actually go play it, you'll realize that you can play it like the old games and stealthily, and you don't have to use all the other stuff they've added, which is good. They've given you the choice. Resident Evil 6, I love, because it's Resident Evil. Really, really big throwback to Resident Evil 2. All the characters from Resident Evil 2, except for Claire, who I'm going to assume is dead now. Return. Lots of throwbacks. Really, really, really lengthy game. It's really fun. It's really fun co-op. Great multiplayer now, especially. And Far Cry 3, which is a better Assassin's Creed game than Assassin's Creed 3 was. Open world, once again. The structure is very similar to Assassin's Creed. The villain is fantastic. Probably the best written villain I've ever come across in a video game thus far. I really like whoever acts in the role. They did a really, really good job. I think it's a little bit sad that they probably won't return to this villain, because generally all the Far Cry games seem to be all completely different. The thing I love about Far Cry most is that, you know, you start off playing as this dickhead douchebag, and it really shows you how, like, you know, the idea of killing people and, you know, becoming someone who does kill people kind of changes the mind and warps the psyche, and I think that's what I really appreciate about Far Cry's storytelling, that it's very psychological in the way that it's done and how it develops its characters. So, yeah.
Wow, that makes me actually want to play it quite a bit, because that sounds almost Spec Ops-like, how it sort of shows how a character changes through doing the stuff that you've been doing in video games for the last 10 years.
And it's interesting, because, like, you know, there's a scene in Far Cry 3 especially, I won't go into it heaps, but it's very, like, it's done very subtly and very nuanced. It's, like, you know, someone is talking to the main character and you kind of agree with the person that's talking to the main character, but then the main character says something that makes you realize that he's changing a little bit. And there's all these little moments like that throughout the game where he has these kind of internal kind of discussions with himself. Well, not discussions, just one-liners or a few sentences. And you realize that this certain character is changing, and it's really good. The only thing that sucked about Far Cry was it's one of those annoying games where you can change your ending based on one decision at the very end, but otherwise it's very good. I really enjoyed it. So Dishonored, Hitman Absolution, Far Cry, and Resident Evil 6.
Cool. Mine is FTL, Faster Than Light, which is this little indie game. It's sort of one of the first games that sort of come out of the whole Kickstarter thing that's been big this year. I hadn't even heard of it until I'm sure I just saw someone talking about it on a forum or something, and then I saw someone.
Yeah, it was probably me.
Oh, I honestly can't remember. And then I saw a friend of mine playing it on Steam, and I'm like, okay, what's this? Checked it out. Okay, that looks cool. It's $10. And yeah, I think another thing was I was looking for like little turn-based strategy games I could play while I was editing the podcast. And that was a good one for it because I could have that windowed up the top of the screen and then editing the podcast on the bottom. And so I picked it up for that, and then I just have not been able to stop playing it. I think I've only actually finished it two or three times because the game is just so brutally hard. But, I mean, it's sort of a roguelike, sort of like Shiren the Wanderer or the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon game. So, I mean, if you die, you basically lose all your progress. But the knowledge you get from what you've done allows you to make better decisions the next time you play. And it's a sort of good mix. I mean, roguelikes are sort of RPGs like that. Because, I mean, as you play the game itself, you do gain XP and you do level up and you do get stronger. But the minute you die, you lose everything and you're back to square one. And it's all just based on the choices you make. And I just really like that. And the way the game is, I mean, you're sort of trying to outrun this fleet. So you can't take your time to in levels to get stronger. You need to keep moving and keep going to other planets, keep exploring. And you're going to make choices. And a lot of the time, the choices you make are going to be bad ones. And they're going to screw you over so much. But then there's these times when you just everything clicks into place, and when that happens, you just get this feeling of power, and you just really feel like you're accomplishing something. It's just not a feeling I get in a lot of games, and I would really love this to come to the Wii U eShop, just because playing that on the gamepad would be great, or even the iPad, because, oh god, if this came to the iPad, I don't think I'd play anything else on the bus but this. And it's just always sort of been my go-to game on my laptop if I'm just sort of doing nothing. And I thought, oh, I'll just play FTL for a few minutes. And then the few minutes ends up being like 3 hours because it's just one of those games I can't stop playing. I'm just insanely in love with it. If our top five had been non-Nintendo's, had have included non-Nintendo games, this probably would have been my number three or maybe even number two. Just loved it that much. And I'll give honorable mention to Borderlands 2. Took me a while to get into because I didn't like any of the starting classes, but once they got the Necrodancer in there, I loved it. Still need to get back and finish it, though, because it's a pretty big game. And I'd kill for that to be on the Wii U as well, but probably not going to happen. So, Vuk, you're on Nintendo before we take another quick break.
I'd like to say that Fast and Light is a good game. I was playing it this morning before the podcast, and it's a great game.
It's just insane. How addictive it is.
I like it because it kind of reminds me of Stargate, which I like Stargate.
Yeah.
But I like the quaintness of the 2D graphics and everything, but I wouldn't mind like having sort of like a fleet version as well.
Yeah.
Where you control the whole fleet and maybe it's with. So this is, I've been thinking about this a lot. So you think of it as like two sticks and the gamepad and the touchscreen, and you can sort of like manage your whole fleet, and it's a bit more like graphically, your whole fleet jumps out of hyperspace, like that part in Mass Effect 3, toward the end, where you just drop out of hyperspace and open whoop ass on an enemy fleet. Just like, there's a couple of those games coming to Kickstarter, but they're sort of not fleet games, they were just more personal craft.
You know, the reverse, I mean, because you get everything's clicking into place and you're just so powerful. But then the reverse is when you're just, you're barely hanging on and you just can't stop because, you know, oh, if I can just make it to a store and repair, I'm going to make it. And then it's like, fuck, I'm dead. Oh, I'll just start again.
I keep finding that I run out of credits, scrap, and just once you get low on scrap and you can't, and you run out of missiles, and then that's it. You pretty much...
You've got to get the scrap recovery arm as soon as you can, because as soon as you get that, it's just a lot easier.
Yeah. It just boosts the amount of scrap you get. But my number non-Nintendo game, and I won't go on about too much because we're talking about FTL a bit, Max Payne 3. I loved Max Payne 1 and 2. I played them on the PC. I played Max Payne 3 on the Xbox. Mainly because I don't think my computer can hack it, and just not closure, because I didn't really need closure on the story, but just like, it was good to play with Max Payne again, and then have that character come back. The game was pretty much, like, I love the setting of the game, just in Brazil, and the characters in it were good too, and the story was good, but the game didn't do that much for me. Like, I liked it. It's my probably not best non-Nintendo game of the year, apart from Mass Effect 3, which also, but I put that in the Nintendo list. But yeah, I like Max Payne 3.
Yeah, anyone I loved else play it. I felt like it was a little bit too long, and
I've never played a single Max Payne game.
Yeah, so they're kind of hard to get into now.
I loved
the first one's really old.
Third one. And I thought it was a little bit too long.
Yeah. Yeah, it just felt like it was just going from one extreme to the next, and it's just like, okay, we've done all that.
Yeah,
oh, wait,
it was good. I loved it, but I loved the multiplayer as well. I was really surprised at how they actually got bullet time to work for multiplayer.
I haven't played
it's really
it
good,
at all,
like,
multiplayer yet.
Your time is only slowed down if you're in the sight of the person who's slowing down time. It works really well. Yeah. I love the relationship between Max and Passwell. I like the characters and stuff too. It's really well done.
Yeah, and you didn't know who was going to betray you or who was you could trust the whole game. You just got to keep your wits about you. Someone's going to turn on you eventually. The storytelling in it was really good. It'd make a really good movie too.
Cool. Okay, so we'll leave that for that. Sorry, Vuk, just want to try because time and all that.
That's fine.
Okay, we're going to take another quick break, and then we're back with our number one. And if time permitting, we'll have a quick look back on just 2012 in general. So we'll see you after the break. Okay, so, and we are back. Now let's go through, so let's have a bit of fun. Now let's try and guess what everyone's number one will be. Let's start with it, James. What does everyone think James's number one's going to be?
Resident Evil 6. Nah.
I want to say Pandora's Tower, because he gave that a pretty good review, or Zombie U, just knowing the kind of gamer he is. And most of his other stuff's been horror anyway, so...
Zombie U, I'll go for that. It's probably an easy but wrong guess.
Man, this is hard. I'm going to say Pandora's Tower as well.
I wish you guys could see my face.
Relieve us of our tension, James. What is it?
My number one for this year is...
Describe your face first.
I'm trying to do a drum roll noise, but I can't. It's
beautiful.
No, it's my face would be like, you know that Tobey Maguire... image from Spider-Man 3 where he's got the giant smile. Yep. it is Kid Icarus on 3DS. Really, ooh. I'm actually surprised as well because I played it heaps, back in the day when it came out. But I didn't really get into it until I went away a month ago, I think now. And I played it heaps when I was away because I was in the car for 4 hours. And, it was just so good. I replayed it and I just love how every single level is different. How every single, there's so many bosses, so many enemies. It's just packed to the brim with content. The multiplayer is really fun as well. I didn't realize I played it more than I did because I played it for a good 3 hours for review, but I didn't play it intensely. But now I have. I love it. And I mean, I know that, left-handed people can't play it, but it's my top five and I loved playing it and I'm right-handed. So I guess, yeah. I mean, it is a bit shit that they didn't really, they included the Circle Pad Pro support for it, but from what I hear, I think it doesn't really help because it's
only just added. And I think that's got added really late in the development.
Yeah. It just does not help at all. If you put your hand, unless you're a non-gamer, your muscle memory thinks that right stick is going to be for the camera and goes back to it no matter what. You have to untrain yourself to do that, and I can't do it. I've played 10 hours of that game, frustrated through it just to try it, and I can't do it anymore.
Might sound weird. I've got sort of a bit of a. I mean, playing. You know how there was that Ghostbusters, that new Ghostbusters game that was released a few years back?
Yep.
Yeah, I got it on PSP because it was on PSN. I thought, why not? And the controls you can set up where the analog stick moves and then you've got to look around with the D-pad. And sort of the same what Vuk's saying. Your mind just can't adjust to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
cool.
But, I mean, granted, I think it's an excellent game. Apart from that, I would play it.
The thing that I loved most about it was the whole bet your things to make the level more difficult, but get more, loot or whatever from it. I think that was a really good mechanic. And the higher your difficulty, the more kind of areas you had access to as well. It was really good. I loved it.
Reminded me a bit of The World Ends with You.
Yeah, you're right. But yeah.
Cool. Anything else you want to gush about?
No, not really.
Okay, cool. So Ninja's top game.
It's hard,
I'm honestly not sure. We've already said Resident Evil, so it can't be that again. I'm drawing a blank.
Me too.
Nobody knows me.
Mario Tennis.
I'll go see what's on your backlog list and see if that's anything.
For Nintendo.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Mass Effect. I'm going to say Mass Effect.
I think. Oh, no, this is too hard.
Mario Tennis.
I'm going to say.
Poker Park 2.
Pokemon? Black and White 2. I'll just say that.
You already said that one.
This is the most.
Shall I just say?
Yeah.
Put him out of his misery.
Ah! Mass Effect. You were right.
Gave it a 5. What do you think?
I really, really liked it. I can understand that people who hadn't played the earlier games might. It's probably the best way to get into the franchise, but it's still not as good as having played the earlier ones, but. Me having played the earlier ones, even though I couldn't import characters into the Wii version, I still had a fair idea of what was going on. It just sort of wrapped up so many story things, and I just found it a really, really enjoyable game. The gunplay was really good. It had Mass Effect 2's gunplay but it still also had more RPG elements like Mass Effect 1. It just felt like a really good amalgamation of the first two games, what made them both good. And throw them into the one game, and it was fantastic. And I liked the end. Well, I didn't dislike the ending. Let's put it that way. I was okay with it.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know what else I can say. It's Mass Effect 3.
Hey, just out of interest, speaking like with the touch, with the circle pad,
gamepad,
with the gamepad.
Yeah.
Do you think that's going to be a good effect for RPGs? Just after playing Mass Effect, with what you can do for like management and stuff.
I think it definitely can be, especially if it's for it. Like for Mass Effect, for me, because I had been so used to playing it on other platforms, it took a lot to force myself to use the gamepad, so I just sort of kept playing it as though it was on a regular controller and used the touchscreen, you know, to see how it worked, but didn't find myself naturally using it because I'd already, you know, learned how to play the game otherwise. But I think if I had a completely new franchise or a completely new game where I didn't already have familiarity with the control setup, if they incorporated its touch in a similar way, I think that could work incredibly well for RPGs because instead of having your menu of, pausing the game, going to your list of skills, it's just all there and you can just keep the action flowing a lot better than you could with a regular controller. So yeah, I really, really liked Mass Effect 3.
Now it's my turn, so does anyone want to take a stab
at what it is? Some weird download game that no one's played except him
Fuck you and the couch you wrote in on.
I was about to say game that came out years ago that you're only just catching up on because you have too many video games, but that wouldn't count.
No,
I can't think of a game that you've played this year that you haven't already talked about.
Okay.
Denpa Man.
They come in waves. Oh,
that was so close to actually making my top five. But I just felt it was missing extra stuff. Once I finished it, I didn't feel like going back. No, mine's the same as James, Kid Icarus Uprising. Wow. I just fell in love with it. I completely understand why you did not like it, and you're completely justified. They mucked up on that. I'm not sure how they could have rectified it. But the type of game they were making, the only way I see those controls could work on any other system would be the Wii. Because you just need that speed and precision. And it's really sad that all the negative talk about controls put a lot of people off it. Because you just see, I see a lot of people trashing it. And I think the people who are trashing it, who could play it, the right-handed people who could play it, but didn't like it, weren't trying to learn the controls. I think those controls are perfect for the game. Yes, I did get lots of hair cramps for it, from it, but it's just to play that game at the speed that you had to and the reflexes, it was just perfect. And, I mean, it's not just the gameplay. The gameplay is, I think I was playing it and I was like, this is the most console-y handheld game I've ever played in that it's a game that is designed for a handheld, but it felt like I was playing a console game. It had that huge epic nature, and it's the storyline. I mean, I did not go into Kid Icarus expecting this awesome story. I just thought, okay, cool. Go through worlds, fight bad guys, whatever. But the storyline just was just off the chart. Just there was twists and turns, stuff happening everywhere. Again, like Resident Evil, I just wanted to know what was going to happen next. There's this big twist, like very early on, and Nintendo did a very good job of keeping it quiet. And then once that happened, you're just introduced to one of the most amazing characters ever. And then this other stuff happened, and it was just amazing. I loved it. I haven't played the online mode. I'm not really a big online gamer. And then with James saying the whole risk reward thing with the what was it called, the cauldron, and just how you could, if you wanted to push it to get more rewards, you could. But if you just wanted to play it easy and get through it, you could do that too. It's a typical Sakurai game. There is just so much to do in it, and just so much replayability in it. He pours his heart and soul into these games. I mean, he takes ages to make games, but when he does, you're never going to get bored of it because there's just so much to do. And the game looks amazing, has a great soundtrack. The voice acting and dialogue is just that the game doesn't take itself seriously and it sort of revels in that. There's a lot of – it mucks around with the throwbacks to the 80s, breaks the fourth wall so many times. I just love it. I mean, without a doubt, my game of the year. I kind of also hope they don't make another one because I think it works so well. It's just this thing because it's been 20 years since the last Kid Icarus, and I think it works so well because of that.
Yeah.
And that the game wraps up so perfect, I can't see how they could do a sequel either. And Sakurai's got enough work right now with Smash Brothers. So, yeah. I loved it. Yeah. Vuk, your number one. I'm going to guess it's Angry Birds Trilogy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Angry Birds Trilogy is game of the year for all years.
Man, I've already said Mario.
Yeah, you've already said Mario.
No, I haven't been participating, so I have been.
I'm just looking at the list. If it's not Mario U, I don't know if it could be a Wii U game, because I don't think you would have gotten into Zombie U.
I played 2 hours of that, that's it.
Nintendo Land, maybe?
Did you say Professor Layton yet?
It wouldn't be Layton.
No way.
It could be.
It's not Layton.
Yeah, because you said you didn't really play enough.
No, I played enough of it.
Yeah.
It's just more Layton, which is good, but it's not my game of the year.
I'm going to say Nintendo Land, but I think I'm wrong.
I don't think it's Wii U. I don't know. I'll say Nintendo Land as well.
Mario Chase.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm.
It's Nintendo Land.
We need firework noises for this part.
I was really ready to hate that game when it was first revealed. I thought it was a steaming pile of crap, and it was just demoed so poorly at E3 that I think Nintendo made everyone hate it.
I think so. They like built it up to be fantastic. Like, oh, we're gonna show you this really cool, you know, thing for hardcore gamers, and it was a part of Nintendo Land, and people.
I don't think they ever said that. I think it was more like, you know how after each of their conferences, I mean, we had the.
Yeah, and we have one like more thing to show you.
And it was
and
like
it's fireworks.
It was
like, what
the other
M announcement,
and it was the, you know, what was the other one before? Twilight Princess trailer once and stuff, and like, and we were like, here it comes, and we get Nintendo Land.
My God, you mentioned Other M, like a baby.
But yeah, I've had a chance to play it multiplayer and single player, and I'm nearly finished my review of it, but. Multiplayer, it's, people said, oh, you know, it's not,
it's
a Wii Sports
Wii
type
Sports.
Thing, where you can just pick it up and, no, you can't just pick it up and say, just swing it like a tennis racket. So people aren't going to get that. But you'll be able to pick it up.
I want to see someone swing the gamepad like a tennis racket.
No. But people can pick it up and non-gamers can pick it up. And it's not, I don't like it because of that. I like it because I'm enjoying every single one of the games in it, except for the Dancing Octopus one. That's just crap. But if you ever went to a Nintendo theme park, that's what it would be like. It'd just be mini versions or shows about different Nintendo properties, and it'd be just enough to be good, but not too small. Like, people call them mini games, and they are, but the Zelda one, the Metroid one, pretty in-depth. And the strategy you need for Mario Chase to stay away from people when they got four people teaming up on you is hard. Luigi's Mansion one is also hard as well, especially with the full complement of players.
Oh, I found that one the so only, much fun, only, like, especially when you're playing as the ghost.
Yeah.
You have, when you catch people, you just feel like you have this feeling of ultimate power, but as soon as you're seen in the light, then you're just crapping yourself because someone's going to find you. It's like, it just goes from one end to the other in the matter of a few seconds, and it's just so exciting.
And that one, I love faking out
yes.
people, and like, you can appear as if you're going down that hallway, but then backtrack around, and then you know they're all going to go there and get them. And most people, it takes them. You can't do that over and over because that strategy will only work so much, and then people will adapt to it. But if there's only one complaint I have with it, well, there's actually two. One, if you've got maybe three players, it's not as balanced. And then also the attraction mode, it doesn't have, like, if you're playing, so it'll have like three options to play Octopus Dance, and then two other ones, and it does keep, the game does keep track of who has the gamepad the most, so it does get spread around, but it doesn't work the best. Some people are sitting there for some time not playing the game, So it's not as involved as Mario Party or Wii Sports, where it's, you know, with the bowling, it's four people in a row go or four people play at once. There is a bit of waiting to go there. And there's no way to single out attractions which you don't want to do or filter them out. It's either all or nothing, so.
Did you think it's good as a single-player game?
I don't think so.
No, not solely. If you have no friends at all and you don't have anyone else to play it with, you're only going to get 60% value of the game because most of them are solo attractions. But most of them, the other ones are the more fun ones, and the AI is only going to get you so far.
See, I mean, all I've played from it is I've played the Balloon Trip one, which is cool, and the Pikmin one. But I mean, I'm just playing them single player. But I didn't mind what I played of them. But yeah,
it's not the best. It's still not like the best game ever. But I'm going to be playing that for a while, and I hope. The only fault with it, apart from those other two, this is the Miiverse integration. It has the plaza, but I think it should still, if you're playing it by yourself, you should still have other people's Miiverse posts at the end of it, maybe, and stuff like that. If they're not going to have any online, they should have that.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
That's, I'm really impressed with Nintendo. And it looks good too, like, the HD graphics are wicked, so.
Cool. So, that's our top fives. Look, the podcast, we did sort of want to do a 2012 review sort of thing, but the podcast, I mean, we're running really late. It's almost up to 2 hours, and I've got to edit this, SOB. So we might just leave it at that. Next episode, hopefully, be episode 70. Well, it will be, if we're going numerically.
It'd be number 411.
Like to be comfortable with. So who am I to rock the boat? That might work. We'll actually do sort of like a 2012 in review, and I look forward to 2013. But we'll leave it at that for now. Mammoth episode. So thank you very much, James, Vuk, and Ninja for joining me today. Actually, is there anything else? What's going on around the site, Vuk? There is the Game of the Year reader poll, but that'll be done by the time this is up.
Yep, that will be, and the voting is very close on a lot of them, so it's really interesting to see where that's going. Still got a ton of reviews to come through the holidays, and I've got a few features, a big Animal Crossing preview from the Japanese version.
I've got my WiiWare feature to get around to finishing.
We got that. We got my feature on the Wii U's off-TV play in the real world, which is taking a long time, but it'll be a nice and big article. And there's a few other things that I've got in the works. And I want to do... We've got a... it's related to that Wii U off-TV guide. It's like a page that lists all the games and how to activate them. Because some of the games... don't make it clear at all how to do that, so.
Yeah.
And it'll be a general plea to Nintendo to fix it, so, to make some sort of ruling for that. Don't think there'll be too much news between now and.
Unless Nintendo spring a secret Nintendo Direct on us tomorrow.
Well, Nintendo like to release. To like to announce updates to their consoles in the first month of the year.
Yeah.
So the GBA SP, the DS Lite were all announced in January. So if there was a new 3DS coming,
I saw your post about that, and I don't think that's.
You know it's going to happen.
Oh yeah, but not for another. I think that happened with the XL for now.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay, well, we could talk about that next episode, and we do a look forward to 2013. As I said, thanks everyone for joining us.
Thanks everyone for listening. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Your Shape is coming.
Your Shape. That'll probably be up tomorrow.
Call of Duty, Black Ops 2.
That's,
Epic Mickey for Wii U.
Actually, before Call of Duty will be... Transformers because I finished that in 4 hours.
Tank yeah. got 3 out of 5.
It's not bad.
Okay.
And I've also got Sonic All-Stars and Assassin's Creed 3, which James has got.
And Warriors Orochi Piper 3 or something. That's coming. And Paper Mario 3D is also coming. Yes.
Sticker Star.
Yeah. And yes. Some eShop games are coming, 4 Blocks review as well.
And Assassin's Creed 3.
Cool.
And Tribe 2 if it ever comes out.
Yeah. Getting very close to the 2 hour mark. So yeah. Of course, visit us, www.vooks.net. All those reviews, features, as well as a great forum community to join and check out with. We've got all of our... we've got a thread for our Nintendo Network IDs if you want to add us.
Actually, you can't add me. My list is full.
Sorry.
They can't. No one can add me. I've got no room.
Oh. And, sucks. Of course, make sure to follow... like us on Facebook because you get all the updates. I'm sure we've got a Twitter account you can follow. Subscribe to us on iTunes.
Tell the people
we'll see
what
you
it
next
is.
Time.
Tell the people.
What am I telling them?
Vooks.net spelt out is
www.vooks.net.
Yeah, but no www.
Okay.
Alright, I interrupted your ending.
I don't know. I don't really have a proper ending. I don't know what to say.
I think there's a meteor out. I can see a meteor out the window.
We'll catch you next time.
That's bad.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah,
bye.
Sorry. Goodbye.
James, say goodbye. actually, James, you want to end the final podcast of the year with it? Like a baby.
Like a baby.
Apparently not.
Okay. See you next time.
Future isn't just one night, it's written in the moonlight, painted on the stars. We can't change ours. Don't give up on us, baby. We're still worth one more try. I know we put a last one by, just for a rainy evening, when maybe stars are few. Don't give up on us, I know, we can still come through. I really lost my head last night. You've got stop believing there's still a little love left, even so. Don't give up on us, baby. Lord knows we've come this far.